reading from Matthew 6, 9 through 13. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord.
Our fathers who aren't in heaven. So it can be in church, it could be at a graveside funeral, it could be at a baptism, it could be at a graduation ceremony of maybe a parochial school or a Christian school. It might even be a dinner or a graduation party. There'll be a pause, and then without warning, we receive our cue. And we embrace it. Our Father. Let's say it. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then we're just saying it. We're not praying it. We're saying it. And let's go through it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The power and the glory forever. Amen. Now we can say that so many people throughout the world, in fact, probably, if our statistics are right, more people in the world know this prayer that Jesus taught us than anything else. In all sorts of other languages, the majority of the world could say the Our Father. Our Father. Now, some of us can, when we sing the Hail Mary, we can sing it without even thinking about it. We can say it without even thinking about it. Now, that's another problem altogether. That's another time. But the Lord's Prayer is just so, it's just right there. It's available for us. And I want to urge you, we're going to do it this morning, but I want to urge you to use the Lord's Prayer not only as a prayer, but for a pattern of prayer. And we'll see that in just a second. The first time I heard this expression, our fathers who aren't in heaven, I just smiled. I thought, okay, this is going to work. This can work because all of us have a father who's not in heaven. And who wasn't in heaven when they were being our father and demonstrated quite a difference between themselves and our Father who is in heaven. They had used this expression, our fathers who are in heaven, as a title for their fellowship of fathers. Isn't that good? I really like that. It's because it's about all of us men who have the privilege of having children and even metaphorical or spiritual fathers who are investing their lives into others. We're all flawed. We're all weighed down by the realities of a fallen world. We're tired. We're hoping that who we are doesn't completely destroy our children. We're doing our best, but we still feel like we're coming up short. All of us have or have had an earthly father to complement our Heavenly Father. And so this morning, I want us to reflect on the Our Father, as it's known, using the prayer, first of all, as a plea for our fathers. Secondly, we're going to use it as a pattern to pray for our fathers. And then finally, it's going to be a reminder to praise our Father who is in heaven, because he is our God. So first is going to be the challenge to our fathers. God has given fathers the dignity of applying to himself the same title that we have. Now, that's offensive to those who follow the second largest religion in the world. The thought that God could be called Father is absolutely offensive to those in the Muslim community. But God applies that to himself so that we can relate to him, and I believe so that we as fathers can have an example to aspire to. See, God is not simply our creator. God is not simply a sire or someone who can cause birth to happen. God says he's our father. He's our father who is in heaven. See, that the fact that God takes that on himself should call all of us fathers to a much higher standard than simply living up to our own human fathers or even to the best fathers that we see around us. So the first request for our fathers who aren't in heaven is, we're going to go with the same one, our hallowed be your name. And I want to just rephrase that to maintain your integrity, be above reproach. Live your lives in such a way that no accusation will be able to stick. Now, when I say that, I want to leave the room. To maintain our integrity. See, there's a lot of painful experiences that we as fathers can inflict on our children, but one of the most difficult is when they see their parents or some authority figure be unmasked as a hypocrite or someone who doesn't live up to their word. All of our fathers have failed us in this way, one way or another. But when we pray, hallowed be thy name, I want to transfer that to our fathers. I want to plead with my fellow fathers to please live beyond simply gaining a reputation, but have a character, having character that would stick so when your children look at you, their heads don't drop. That we don't embarrass our children. We don't bring shame to our children. And sometimes, quite honestly, it's thinking about my children and the impact that my behavior or my words will have on them that keeps me from doing something that I honestly really want to do. See, maintain your good name. Make sure your reputation truly reflects a growing character that resembles Jesus Christ. Now again, I said it was going to be a plea to the fathers. What's the second one? It's going to be a prayer, a pattern for prayer. We've got to pray for fathers. We've got to. There's no way we can handle that exhortation if we don't know that people are praying for us. I pray with different groups of men, and over again, they say, knowing that their wives, that their children, that their friends are praying for them, encourages them again to live beyond themselves, to be a little bit higher, to live a little higher than they might otherwise. So please pray. Pray for fathers. But again, it's the plea, it's the pattern for prayer, but it's also our praise for God that we have a Father whose name is the highest. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a Father whose name is above all. That means he's the highest authority. That means no one can thwart his will. He is above all. So, fathers, maintain your integrity. Live for more. We pray, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fathers, we need to live for more than just our own desires. We need to live for more than simply our own pleasures. We need to live for more than just our own ambitions. We need to align ourselves with God's will. I love how Jesus says it, as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. What's God's will? God's will is expressing his character, his rule, that's the kingdom of God, his rule in our lives in this fallen world. You pray that, and now, fathers, I'm pleading with you, would you please align your life, your ambition, your purpose to live for more, to align with that? I love how Henry Blackaby says this one quote in Experiencing God. He says, watch to see where God is working and join him in his work. Watch to see where God is working and join him in his work. I love how Badveli Mugo, he has this continuous refrain, and when I say it, I think you're going to be able to quote, well, join me. He's always asking the question, are you building your own empire, or are you seeking God's kingdom? Are you building your own empire? Fathers, resist the urge to pass on you, yourself, your character to your kids. Let's go a little bit higher. Let's live for more. Let's pass on the character of God, the mission of God, the kingdom of God, not our own empires, the kingdom of God to our children, to those who are following us. Again, do we need to pray for each other for that? Do we need to pray for fathers for that? I mean, this is not easy. We need God's active grace and the power of the Holy Spirit so we can consistently live for more than just ourselves. Our families need it. And before we go on to provision and forgiveness and temptation, we need to pause to praise God for being the kind of father who's willing to be involved in our lives and in our world. I was at a graduation party earlier, just several weeks ago, and the graduate said something that really deeply touched me. They said that they had been teased because of their parents' over-involvement in their lives. And you've heard the whole helicopter parent idea. But she said, I am so grateful that my parents have been very involved in my life, because what's the other option? To let your kids just be? I noticed this 20 years ago when I was a youth pastor, and it's worse now. Parents, for all the other responsibilities they have, are seeming to let their children just be, to be raised by their phones, to be raised by what they discover on the internet. I don't know how many times I've heard parents say, well, just look it up, just Google it. Really, well, Google can't raise our kids. It can crush our kids, but it cannot raise them to be the kind of people who would seek first the kingdom of God. So let's move on. We have a God who is involved in our lives, who hears our cries, who's eager to reverse the curse that sin has, that's destroying our world. We have a great Father. We have a great God. And so we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And this one's going to be brief. Fathers, would you please provide for your children's meals? Would you please work hard so that they don't have to wonder if they'll be able to have what they need? See, that insecurity that's bred from that uncertainty, Jonelle mentioned it in the sermon about anger, the seven deadly sins. Frequently, fear will breed anger, and it'll come out and you'll say, gosh, what is going on? Why are they so angry? Frequently, it's because of fear, and sometimes that fear comes from not knowing if their needs will be provided for. I recognize that it's not always easy to have the best job that feels like a calling. So children and families, church family, let's pray for our fathers, for our mothers, that God would provide meaningful work. This is really a challenge. This is really a challenge that God would provide meaningful, maybe even enjoyable work. And one more thing about the daily bread. Dads, let's not justify not being involved in our children's lives because we're so busy providing for them or over-providing for them. Remember, the prayer is, give us this day our what? Daily bread. I know you want to provide for college. I know you want to go above and beyond your needs. I know you want to plan ahead for the future. But again, how many fathers have been so busy providing and justifying that their children don't get to see dad? Dad's not there to provide. And fathers, I am not trying to throw guilt. This is a pretty hard sermon for me to preach because my family's here and my children are here. Fathers, it's daily bread. It's daily bread. They need you. They need us more than they need what we're providing for them. So provide the meals and more. Fathers, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. We need to model forgiveness. Do you like all the M's there? The maintain, the more, the meals, and model forgiveness. Fathers, when we forgive our children, or when we don't forgive our children, they learn. They learn. And like I said, this isn't a fun sermon for me to preach because my children have heard too frequently the word again, or you always do this. Really? Thanks, Dad. Thanks. I thought you forgave me. I thought when I asked you for forgiveness, it wouldn't be brought up again. God says it's as far as the east is from the west, right? Oh, that's right. You're my father who isn't in heaven. You're my earthly father. See, fathers, our children are taking their cue from us. We forgive. They believe their Father in heaven will forgive. We hold back shaming. We try to inhibit. We cut the shame when we see it happening in their lives. Not shaming you. Pointing out sin, absolutely. As fathers, we do need to call our children to live obedient lives. Thanks, Mel, for that excellent children's message. That's our call. Parents, it's not just, oh, kids obey, but we model it. We do demand that they seek to obey Christ with all they are, but they're going to fail, just like we fail. So, fathers, do you model forgiveness? Let me push it a little bit further. Do you model being forgiven? Do you model being forgiven? When you have to ask their forgiveness, do you mope around? They follow our lead. If we beat ourselves up after having asked forgiveness, guess what you're going to see? You're going to see them beating themselves up. It's like, I thought we just confessed that. Yeah, I know, but I stink. I always do this. I did it again. Man, God will never... Dads, we get the privilege, we get the chance to demonstrate that we can be forgiven. We don't need to live with shame. Let's just dump it. Let's receive the forgiveness that God offers. See, sometimes fathers find it difficult to forgive because we've been wounded. Sometimes it's also because we have unconfessed sin in our own lives. We think that no one knows. Well, they may not know the sin that I'm hiding, but something's leaking. Something's not right with Dad. And you can only play the "I'm tired" so many times. I'm just really tired. I didn't get enough sleep last night. Oh, it's been a really busy week. Really? For the 47th week in a row? Dads, confess your sins. Make quick accounts with God. Quickly ask for forgiveness and then experience. And if it's hard, let's pray with each other. Families, pray for your fathers that they would experience the forgiveness of God. Pray for us that the Holy Spirit would assure us that what we've done that to us may seem monumental and just catastrophic, and we can actually picture how what we've just done is going to curse our kids all the way down the line. Pray for us to be able to believe that God can cut that off, that God can stop the sin of the fathers from going to the children's and children's and children's and children's. He can do that. Pray for us that we'll believe that. We need it. So fathers, I plead with you, model forgiveness. And I know you're just with bated breath wondering what the next M is going to be for lead us not into temptation. And it's guard. I couldn't get one. I couldn't get the M. Sorry. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Fathers, we must protect our children. We must protect our children. That means we need to get to know them genuinely and personally. And we all know that no two children are alike. I mean, every parent who gets more than one, you'd think there'd be greater overlap, but isn't it ridiculous how different they are? They sleep differently. They eat differently, they learn differently, they communicate differently, their hair combs differently. I mean, they have different interests. Some things make them laugh, others, it's like, that's not funny at all, Dad. Why, that, not at all. And we've got it, I mean, they're different, and that means they need personalized protection. Personalized protection. We need to understand them so we can anticipate the temptations that the evil one is going to bring into their lives. For one child, it may be the area is deceit. For your second child may be the most honest person on the planet. But then the third will just be dealing with fear or arrogance. It's like, what? Where'd that come from? First two are really humble. What happened to you? Well, yeah, it does come from us. But anyway, apart from that, for some it'll be pride, for others it'll be sensual, others will be vulnerable to the temptations will come through their friends. I mean, some of our children are going to be absolutely independent and they can take it all. Others are going to be pushed around by a little look from someone and like, oh, what's that? So dads, we've got to be vigilant to know our children, to know how to guard them so that not only can we protect them from the outside, but remember how Paul said we're not supposed to provoke our children to anger? See, as we get to know them, we can realize that one form of discipline is really effective for one. And yes, we're going to be open to, hey, that's not fair. You did this with me, but you don't do this. Right. Because it's personalized. Our discipline needs to match our children so we don't provoke them to anger. We don't want to end up leading them into temptation because of an issue that wasn't a struggle for us or our other kids. really is for the other one. So let's protect our kids. Do you realize how badly you need to pray for our fathers? You need to pray for us. We need to pray for our mothers. We need to pray for our parents. This is a big deal. Children matter. Grandchildren matter. It takes a lot of hard work. It takes discipline, diligence. And dads, I just want to throw out one more thing. We need to leave some energy in the tanks at the end of the day so when we come home, we're actually available. Yeah, please don't talk to my children about this. We need to leave room. We need to come home early enough. We need to say no to certain responsibilities. Let them go the next day. Because when we get home, they need us. They need us. And we really don't want mom saying, "Here you go, see you, bye." We want to be able to be there and to be there wholeheartedly. See, that's my plea. We got to pray, but again, think about our Father in heaven. Doesn't this prayer just move you to praise Him, that He knows each one of us so well? He knows each one of us so well that He guards us exactly to the point we need it with temptation. He knows us so well that He will never give us a temptation beyond what we can handle with His presence. We're on our own, all bets are off. Don't do it. We're going down. But we can pray, "Do not lead us into temptation," because He's aware there will never be a time when you will be in a temptation that God says, "Oh no, oh no." He's never going to fall asleep. He is right there available. So we can say, "Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." He is stronger than evil. His name is above all. He is bringing His kingdom. He's providing for us. He is forgiving us, and He will guard us. So, dads, let's seek Him. Let's experience His fatherhood so we can extend, even if it's just a glimpse, but we can extend enough so our children might see their Father who is in heaven in their Father who isn't. Amen. Please stand to receive the benediction. And now may our God of all grace, our Father,